Ryan Noonan is playing on the radio, baby.
I want to thank Ryan Noonan for going on.
What do you do?
I'm a communicator.
Must be a new kind of thing.
Holy s***! Ryan's back!
Ryan Noonan, 720 WGN. Glad you are with me. We're here till 1 o'clock in the morning. Big win for the Blackhawks. Woohoo! Winning in a shootout. We like that. Road trip sweep. We like that. A lot of good news. Next game here on WGN, of course, Sunday night. But tonight we are going to focus on another sport, baseball. Former White Sox closer Bobby Jenks is going to join me in about an hour. He has a new story out in the Players Tribune where he's sharing what really happened to him. Through his injuries, his surgeries, addictions, where he's at now, and what he's working towards. And it is a unbelievably shocking story and a very honest story. And it, I would imagine, and we'll find out from Bobby, it had to be a little bit difficult to share this story. So we are going to talk to Bobby Jenks in about an hour. So if you are a White Sox fan, you do not want to miss this. We're also going to talk a little bit about beer after midnight because it's Friday night and it's my show. And that's what we like to talk about. And you like to talk about it too. Some big beer news recently. We'll get some new beer recommendations and, of course, answer all of your questions with John Carruthers, Jesse Valenciana, and Cody Goff is coming in to join us for that segment as well. We are bringing At the Breweries to a Friday night. We'll talk a little bit about National Cupcake Day. There's a lot to get to, Curtis, and why people should stay away from small children. I had a horrifying experience today. No, well, listen, there's obvious reasons in that. That voice you hear, Curtis, he is the executive producer of the big broadcast tonight. If you call in at 312-981-7200, be sure you are nice to him. That's how you get to me. That aforementioned number, also the text number. You can also keep in touch with us via social media, Facebook and Twitter. It's Brian Noonan Show. All right, we've all been following the Eddie Johnson thing. You know, he is he's now been fired by the mayor. He's not the superintendent anymore. You know, we all know the details. We've been following this all week. But one thing that has really stuck out to me, and it's something that he said the other day when he was fired by the mayor, and it's something that Eric Zorn wrote about in the Tribune, but it is your reputation. How much do you value your reputation? How much do you think about your reputation? Because most of us, I'm pretty sure about how people see me. I think my reputation is okay for the most part. It's not great, but it's not bad. You know, but I also know that any little thing can send that down a slippery slope that I'll never get back. You know, the old saying, you never get a second chance to make a first impression. That's how it is with reputations. Now, in this day and age, we know a lot of people screw up, especially, you know, we see it with celebrities and athletes, and we're going through it now with Michael Vick. Did he pay the price? Is he okay to come back on as an honorary captain for the Pro Bowl? We see all different kinds of celebrities. They do their mea culpa, and they're quote-unquote forgiven and brought back into the fold of celebrity and society. For a lot of us, that doesn't happen. If one bad thing happens, it screws up our reputation forever. But this was a line from Eddie Johnson's press conference the other day that is kind of problematic. He said, reputations are not built in a day and not damaged in a day either. The first part of that statement, I agree with 100%. You don't build your reputation over one day. It's a course of years. It's, you know, your interaction with all different kinds of people. It's your professional reputation, your personal reputation. There's all sorts of things that go into it. But when he said your reputation can't be damaged in a day, do you believe that? I do not. One bad, it doesn't matter how good you've been. If you screw up and get caught, that's what people judge you on. Eric Zorn had a couple analogies, and one of them was, you know, if you're a bank robber, you're convicted of robbing a bank, you know, nobody cares that you went into banks hundreds of times and never robbed it. You know, just like if I did something stupid tonight after work, you know, say I went out, Curtis, and I robbed a 7-Eleven. Now, I've never robbed a 7-Eleven before. No desire to rob a 7-Eleven. And 7-Eleven, don't panic. I only bring you into the conversation because I know you're open all night. And I you know, was trying to figure out a location that I could wander into. But all of a sudden, if, Curtis, you woke up tomorrow and you read WGN radio host Brian Noonan arrested for allegedly robbing a 7-Eleven, all of a sudden, any goodwill you had toward me is going to be put through the lens of, wow, Noonan's an armed robber. This guy's not the guy I thought he was at all. He is not an honorable man. He's a thief.
Or I might get a few calls saying, did you know he was going to do this?
Well, sure. I just talked about it at 10:15. If every 7-Eleven in the sound, within the sound of my voice is not beefing up security tonight, I don't know, I'm going to call the whole company's security policies into question. Because, it's 1 o'clock when I get out of here. I need some excitement. But the point being, no matter how good a life I've lived to that point, it's all going to be undone. And with social media, things get undone that much quicker. The other quote that Eddie Johnson said was, we should all be judged by the entirety of our lives and not what happened on our worst days. Well, that's lovely. And down the road, maybe that will balance in again. And you can say, overall, this was a pretty good guy. He did a lot of good things. And, we'll forgive him for his worst day. Or I'll be forgiven for, I'll be forgiven for robbing the 7-Eleven. Maybe. After I get paroled, and I wear the ankle bracelet, I go to the halfway house. I come back, I do some charity work. I do a really sobby apology on Facebook Live. Then maybe down the road I get forgiven. But unfortunately, we are judged by the worst days because those are the days that get the most attention. It's kind of sad because, you go your whole life being a good guy. And then all of a sudden one thing and you're done. From the 708, it also makes people think, what else have you done that went unnoticed, i.e. you didn't get caught? That's true, because if everybody thinks you're this virtuous guy with a lot of integrity. And then all of a sudden, you do something, they go, because most of us know, if we have criminal intent in our heart, or as, Jimmy Carter once historically said back in a Playboy interview, you have lust in your heart, there's a good chance you didn't just wake up one morning after coming out of the monastery and go, yeah, now I'm feeling randy, I'm lusty. That doesn't happen. It's all going, it's been in there before. So now, did we ever really know you? And then people get mad. This is because, let's say I trust you, Curtis. Let's say. I don't.
You mean you don't?
I don't trust anybody, Curtis. Don't take it personally.
Okay.
If my mom called and said she loved me, I'd have it double checked. I'm not, that's an old journalism thing. But if I trusted you and I believed you were a man of high integrity and, I admired you, whether close up or from afar or between glass, it doesn't matter. But the point being, if I admired you and then you turn out to be a scumbag, I have to question my own, I have to question myself.
Yeah.
Am I that poor a judge of character? I thought Curtis was a nice guy. Then he ratted me out to the cops for an alleged armed robbery. That doesn't seem like the kind of guy I should admire. So I'm always going to question myself and my own judgment. So I don't know. Do you think Eddie Johnson or anybody can survive, or their reputation can survive, a scandal like this? And if you were judged by your last day, would you want people to think of your entire life instead of just that last day? 312-981-7200. So much more to come. WGN. All right, Brian Noonan with you until 1 o'clock. We are going to celebrate National Cupcake Day after 10:30. Very, very exciting. It is the holiday season. I look out the window here from the beautiful studios on the 18th floor and across the way. There's a lot of Christmas trees in people's windows. There's lights. Do you decorate for the holidays, Curtis?
This is my first holiday season living by myself.
So did you get yourself some sort of tree or a bush?
I don't have a lot of space in my apartment, so okay. I have like a pencil tree.
Okay.
So I do have a tree up.
That's nice.
Pre-lit, yeah. Three pieces, easy to put
Perfect.
Up and ornaments on it. Yeah. That's really about all I have.
Now,
so
did
far.
You bring ornaments from your parents' house, or did you go out and purchase some new ones to start your own
ornaments
tradition?
Ornaments from my parents' house. That's nice. I still had a ton of ornaments that, like, you know, personalized and everything from when I was a kid. So my mom had a huge box of them that I just grabbed them and took them home when I was home for Thanksgiving and set it all up a few days afterwards because I worked all through the Thanksgiving week.
Yes,
so,
I remember. I would see you.
Yes, you would see me. So after Thanksgiving week, I put it all up. So yeah, it's up. It's actually lit right now at home. So
see, now
that was a mistake of mine.
No, I'm one of these. I still go back to the old mentality of don't leave your tree plugged in. But in reality, one, I don't have a live tree, a real tree, you know, so it's not going to dry out. Two, it's not the old kind of bulbs. Like when I was a kid, this is way before you, we used to put lit candles on the tree. That's not true. I'm not that old. But, you know, you had the big bulbs that got really hot.
Yeah.
So you didn't want to leave the tree on. But now, these bulbs are so, you know, you can touch them all the time. They don't get warm. At a fake tree, there's really no chance it's ever going to catch on fire, God willing.
Knock on wood.
But I still turn it off when I leave the house.
Yeah.
We have a couple little lit things in the window, and I leave those on, but I'll be honest, I panic every time I leave the house. I'm like, this could be the time. And you would think, well, if it's that, you know, if it's that much of a big deal, why don't you unplug them?
Yeah.
That would be a logical question. That would not. We are in the midst of horrific Christmas decorating at the house.
Uh-oh.
And not by horrific, I just mean I love it when it's done, but it's so hectic. And tomorrow, because I was eyeballing the weather all week, tomorrow is the outdoor day. Tomorrow is when I do my exterior illumination.
See, I hadn't been to my folks' house in the suburbs probably about 3 or 4 weeks before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But when I went home for Thanksgiving, all the outdoor lights, Christmas
really?
Trees, everything was up. Yep.
See,
my mom was on it this year. She put them all up early.
There's a part of me that I admire that. I could never do it. I can't put the Christmas tree up before Thanksgiving. I can do it the day after, which sometimes, a lot of times we've done. But I was working too, and you know, with our daughter home and stuff. But now the trees are up because we tried to downsize. We moved and we were like, oh, we're going to downsize. So we sold a couple giant Christmas trees that we had, and I was like, well, we'll just put one in the living room, you know, like most people. Yeah. We'll put one in the living room. That'll be nice. But then last year we had bought a white tree with multicolored lights because we had all sorts of flamingo and tropical ornaments.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, man, maybe there's room on the upstairs on the landing. So now we still have two full trees in the house, plus all this other stuff.
My house has three.
Wow.
We have one in the basement, which my sister has dubbed the Disney tree.
Okay.
Which tons of Disney ornaments and complete at the top with a Mickey ears hat.
I like a theme tree. Bravo.
Yeah. And then in like the front foyer of our suburban house, we have what we call the quote-unquote fancy tree, which is like a bunch of Christopher Radko ornaments that my mom had collected over the years. So there's that in the front. And then we have our main family tree with
the family
a
tree.
Mosh podge of everything from Blackhawks and Cubs. And
I like
all
those
that sort
kind
of stuff.
Trees too.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We, at our old house, we had a 9-foot tree in the family room that had everything on it. Then we had a full size tree in the dining room. There was just kind of red bulbs and some different things. Then we had a big tree in the front, the more formal living area. That was all Irish ornaments. And crystal ornaments and things like that with a nice Waterford topper. Then we had a small tree that just had bear ornaments, not the Chicago Bears, but like grizzly bears and whatnot on it. Then we had a pink glittery tree down in the basement that was Molly's tree, and that had like sci-fi and funky color ornaments on it. That was nice.
Yeah.
And then a pop-up tree upstairs and a small tree in her bedroom. it's insanity. But this is the point of all of this. We've talked about porch pirates before. It's a huge problem. Well, a new study has come out. How bad is it in Chicago? We rank third in the country for people having their packages stolen. A lot of people are scumbags. let's put it out there. A lot of people are scumbags. We are among the top. We rank sixth the rest of the year for porch pirates, which is still bad. But once the holidays start, so after November 1st through January 5th, we are now number three. San Francisco, Oakland, and the San Jose area are ranked the worst. And they are number one during the year, number two during the holidays. Yeah, San Jose. So it's and you see all these, you know, all the Ring doorbells and the other doorbells, the Nest.
It doesn't matter.
No, but people don't care. Matter. They're just coming up. So yeah. I don't know. I had to have something delivered to the house, and I'm a little worried about it. But my last time, only one other time since we've lived in this house have I had something delivered there. And I'm not going to say where the delivery person hit it, but they hit it to the point where I was like, it says it was delivered. And I thought, oh, no, I was porch pirated. And I went out and I was looking around. I was like, oh, look at this. They're perfect. So I'm hoping that they do it again, because yesterday morning I was leaving and the letter carrier came up and got out with a box. And I was like, oh, I wonder if this is mine. And so I was late because I didn't pull out. I was waiting to see if she dropped it at my door, or she ended up dropping it at the next door neighbor's. So just be careful. Figure out a time you're going to be home. Tell the company you need a signature before they'll leave the package. Have it delivered to one of these other drop-off sites, or Amazon is doing it at Kohl's now. You can have it dropped off there. There's Amazon lockers. There's a lot of places.
I was saying, I know that like at my building in the city, there's the actual dry cleaners, which is connected to my building. They receive the packages too.
Oh, will they let you leave it there?
Yeah, and well, the deliveries all get dropped off there for the building. But what they do is when you go down and claim your package, they ask for an ID.
Nice.
And so they put the ID with the name on the package, and then they give you your package.
See, that's terrific. And maybe sweet talk your boss, give them a little, little something, a little Starbucks card. Maybe they'll let you have it delivered at work. All right, we'll celebrate Cupcake Day after this. WGN. Brian Noonan, 720 WGN. Sunday, December 15th is National Cupcake Day. Curtis, did you even know there was a National Cupcake Day?
No, but I'm loving it.
I can't believe, one, that it's happening, and two, that we're going to celebrate it tonight. I'm very excited, because who doesn't love a cupcake? You have to be some sort of soulless being, just a husk of a person, to not like a cupcake. Everybody loves cupcakes. Everybody loves Molly's Cupcakes. Dory from the Molly's Cupcakes in South Loop is here to help us celebrate National Cupcake Day. Dory, welcome. Glad you're here. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
So, all right, cupcake, it seems like in the last, 5-6 years, cupcakes have just gone from something your mom would make to take to school for your birthday to everybody is eating cupcakes. People can't get enough of cupcakes at weddings, everywhere. What's the allure of a cupcake? What drew you to cupcakes?
Well, the cupcakes itself, you get to choose your own. You get to choose your own cupcake, and there's so many different varieties that you can truly enjoy yourself instead of going for just a slice of cake,
right,
or a pie or something like that.
Feel as guilty, do you? Because it's a cupcake. No matter how decadent that cupcake is, you go, well, it's a cupcake.
It's a cupcake.
How bad can it be? It's a cupcake.
And every single cupcake that we have, they're handcrafted, beautifully center filled. Yeah. They're truly amazing. It's the best cupcakes that you find in Chicago.
Now, Molly's, you're in Chicago, New York, Ohio. It's, how did it, who is Molly?
So Molly is the third grade teacher of our founders, John.
Okay.
The first original location that we opened on Clark Street in Lincoln Park about 15 years ago, almost now. And, Molly baked all the cupcakes for the kids' birthday. Right. And, that's how John got inspired, the founder of the company, to name the first bakery that he opened, Molly's Cupcakes.
Okay.
And the rest is history, you know. And because of that, we're so tied down to the education and to the story that's behind it.
Yeah.
So some of our proceeds go towards supporting the education in Chicagoland as well.
Very nice. That's Molly's Missions. People can find out all about that if they go to mollyscupcakes.com. That's a website with everything. You find all the locations. You can find everything about Molly's Cupcakes at that location. Your store, the South Loop store, is at 1150 South Wabash. All right, what did you do before you decided that cupcakes were your passion? I have to devote myself to cupcakes, which sounds like a great sentence to utter. Curtis, I may be saying that at 1 o'clock.
Well, my background is actually in hospitality. I worked for Cheesecake Factory.
Okay.
So I went from cheesecake to cupcakes. Not that very different.
Now, are you going to open a bundt cake place somewhere down the road after this? Just keep moving.
No,
cake
I'm
going to
stick with cupcakes.
Okay, very nice.
I'm going to stick with cupcakes. It's a sweet business.
Oh, I like that. Very nice. Very nice. All right, so This is exciting because, like you said, everybody loves cupcakes. There's all different kinds. Molly's Cupcakes are well known around Chicago and New York, everywhere you are, for quality cupcakes. And people are like, well, how can we celebrate National Cupcake Day? Big special at Molly's on National Cupcake Day.
Absolutely. We're inviting everybody to stop at all locations. 99 cents per cupcakes. It's going to be a limited amount of flavors, okay. Only about 10 flavors of our most popular cupcakes that we'll be featuring that day. And we will be open regular hours, Sunday, December 15th, National Cupcake Days, so that you can get as walk-in guests for 99 cents.
99 cents, that's a pretty good deal to
get
a cupcake.
Wonderful. It's a sweet deal.
It is a sweet deal. I got to get better with the marketing, Curtis. That's the thing. It's a sweet deal. Now, again, when I was a kid, cupcakes were what your mom made. And it was, you know, you'd get the Betty Crocker, the Duncan Hines, you'd put it in the tin and throw some frosting on it. It was fantastic. The amount of the styles of cupcakes that you guys come up with are amazing. And they get more and more elaborate, it seems. Is there mad scientist you have locked in a kitchen somewhere with a cookbook? How do they develop these flavors? Because they're phenomenal. We're going to talk about some of them.
Absolutely. So, you know, we try to keep it interesting. Every month we introduce 2 to 3 new flavors for our guests. And, you know, we have our classic, of course, our best one is the cake batter.
Okay.
And the peach cobbler. Peach cobbler is what won the Food Network Cupcake Wars on the first season as
really?
Well. Yes.
So what is, tell us about this donut.
The peach cobbler?
Cupcake. Yeah, the peach cobbler
cupcake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the peach cobbler cupcake, it's a streusel vanilla cupcake with peach filling, and it's got whipped cream and fresh peach on top as well. It's scrumptious.
It sounds like a good breakfast item.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. It sounds delicious. Okay, so you've got, would that be your best seller? Is the cake batter? Cake batter is the best seller.
Most definitely.
And what is in the cake batter?
Cake batter is like a small birthday cake that, you know, you can just eat any day, you know, of the week and feel like it's a special birthday
nice.
Or it's a special celebration for
you.
Yeah,
I don't
want
to have to wait till my birthday.
Absolutely. So every day is, you know, it's a celebration.
Every day is a celebration.
And what I'd the like cake batter is a funfetti cake with raw cake batter filling. And it's got buttercream and sprinkles that bring so much joy when you really, really eat it.
Sprinkles make everything better.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter. Now, is it the fact that they're stuffed? Is it a combination of the cake and the frosting? Can one ingredient make or break a cupcake?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the complexity of the ingredients, it's what makes truly, you know, the memorable cupcakes that we offer to our guests. They're not overly sweet, they're not dry, they're just perfectly balanced.
Yeah.
They're center filled, you know, but the most important ingredients as we make all these different flavors is love.
Oh, see, why did I know you were going to say that, Dory? So I would like to find, because nobody says our ingredient, hate. We make all our food filled with disdain. Nobody says that. Everybody's filled with love. And as I look at some of the cupcakes, and Curtis is going to post a picture of some of these after, you can tell it's a passion. You know, some people, you could go into business and go, cupcakes are popular, we're going to make cupcakes. And you go, looks like I could make that cupcake. It doesn't look like I could make any of these cupcakes. It doesn't look like anybody I know could make any of these cupcakes. So presentation, obviously, in any sort of food industry, plays a lot. But if the presentation is there, but somebody takes a bite and they go, ugh, doesn't matter how good it looks. It's got to taste good, too. So who is in charge of tasting? Do you guys, as part of the Molly's team, when they come up with a new flavor, do you all go get to sit down and just sample all these delicious cupcakes?
Most certainly. Oh. We do have a full team that we have our head chef and we have our sous chefs as well that in daily basis we make the cupcakes. We have to taste the batters. The key ingredient also, it's the quality ingredients.
Okay.
You know, for these cupcakes to be memorable, the presentation is key, but the ingredients, you know, we have to buy a certain percentage, the fat percentage on the cream and the butter, and everything has to be of high quality ingredient because this really is what makes this incredible cupcakes.
All right, so let's talk about some of the ones, because you have some seasonal ones. Special cupcakes now. Again, National Cupcake Day is December 15th, and you can go into any Molly's Cupcakes and get one of their signature cupcakes, or you're going to have some other, you're going to have some other flavors available there too. But the big deal is 99 cents.
Yes.
Now, there's got to be, I can't go in and buy 1,000 cupcakes. There's got to be a limit, or one per person. Yeah, because you don't be a glutton. Go in, buy one cupcake. That's all you need. And then, you know, maybe you have your kid go in and buy a cupcake for himself. Because if I can only buy one, I'm not sharing. I know that sounds horrible, Dory, but that's the kind of guy I am. I'm eating the cupcake by myself. So what are some of the seasonal cupcakes?
Well, what I brought today here, we have our peppermint bar cupcake and the pecan pie cupcake.
Ooh.
The peppermint is a chocolate cupcake with peppermint mousse stuffed inside, and it's got peppermint buttercream with some crushed peppermints on top.
I'm calling dibs on that.
It's got
one.
A perfect balance.
Get a knife. I'll split it with you.
Yes. The mousse, you know, that stuffed, the peppermint mousse makes it, you know, really balanced, okay. So it's not overly pepperminty. Which you're going to find so many different with peppermints
out
there.
Some people want just a little peppermint. Mm-hmm. I like a lot, but some people get, it's like, you know.
Yep.
So this has the nice balance?
Nice balance.
Perfect balance.
The other one that we're featuring for December is the pecan pie cupcake, and that is a brown sugar cupcake, and it's pecan pie filling. And it has a brown sugar buttercream with some glazed pecans topped as well. And it's not overly rich and sweet, but yeah, it's like you're eating a pie in a cupcake.
Now, you said there were two here that had to be refrigerated pretty quickly. Because a lot of times people will buy cupcakes to take somewhere. They're at a party. Maybe they're sitting out on the counter for a while. And that's okay for most of Molly's cupcakes, right? But there were a couple that you said you got to get them and either eat them right away, which is my
Within an hour.
Okay. Or put them in the refrigerator.
Absolutely.
So
we have a few flavors. We have a blueberry cheesecake, the peach cobbler, creme brulee, and tiramisu. Those have to be either because there's whipped cream and we don't want the whipped cream to be runny.
Okay.
So those have to be either refrigerated or eaten within an hour.
Wow. How often are you guys changing the menu and turning things over and saying, all right, this one, people liked it, but it's time to go away?
Every month,
everything changes.
Everything changes.
Do people get upset if they come in and they have a favorite? Like if I say I fall in love with this pecan pie or this chocolate mint one, there's a good chance I will. And I come in January and I'm like, I got to have one of these peppermint cupcakes. You go, hey, dude, that was Christmas. You're out of luck. Do people ever lose their minds?
Well, sometimes, you know, they get a little bit disappointed, but then we steer them in the right direction to try a different cupcake.
Right.
So therefore, you know, it can be interesting. You know, what else is at Molly's?
Yes.
Because we do more than just cupcakes.
What
we
else
also
do you
have
do?
Cheesecakes. We have pies.
Okay.
We have cookies.
Ooh.
We have seven-layer brownies, chocolate brownies, Rice Krispies. So there's a lot of other treats that we offer for, you know, all tastes, really. So if somebody does not like just cupcakes, we can offer a lot more products. And all these flavors can also be made in a mini size cupcakes.
Okay.
For parties or, you know, kids parties or showers or anything that you can have varieties and in a smaller size.
Okay.
And for all those special, you know, we will just need a day notice because they have to be special made for them.
And again, that's mollyscupcakes.com, or you can call the South Loop location. Maybe you'll talk to Dory herself, 312-964-5090. How long can cupcakes last? If I were to come into Molly's tomorrow and I buy a dozen cupcakes, not counting the ones that you said had to be refrigerated, mm-hmm. but the ones that don't, in the containers, how long, a couple days?
Ideally for, you know, ultimate quality, within 2 to 3 days,
okay. They
will be perfectly okay.
Nice.
So we suggest that they can be served within 2 to 3 days.
Can you freeze them? Which I don't know how they'd last that long, but probably not.
No.
Not a good idea. Okay, listen, I'm just asking because, you know,
they're center-filled.
There's people who are now going, well, if those pecan pies are only good this month, maybe I stock up. No, just buy them and eat them. There's also something, Molly's classic flavor that you can build yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
So that's the fun part about it, because at each location we have a sprinkle bar.
Oh.
And we offer 5 different flavors of just non-center filled, they're just classic Molly's cupcakes, vanilla, chocolate, red velvet, banana, and carrots. And there's multiple different frosting that you can choose from and multiple different toppings.
Oh, wow.
Sprinkles are free.
Fantastic.
That's why we do have a sprinkle bar that you can just go there and have fun and just, you know, be a kid.
That's how I would go. I love sprinkles.
Absolutely.
I just love sprinkles. All right. Now, I'm looking at these cupcakes. And what is the one with the toasted coconut?
Is that? That is our Samoa Girl Scout cookie. That is a really popular one, too. I also brought a creme brulee. This is a Ron Bennington chocolate peanut butter. That's been a very popular one, too.
Ron Bennington, a big radio personality,
yes,
in New York, Curtis, on Sirius, on satellite radio.
I'm aware of
and
that.
I
am hoping one day to get some sort of pastry named after me.
There you go. As a matter of fact, we named that cupcake after him because that's his favorite cupcake.
Oh, really?
And he was one of our regular guests at the first location that we opened up.
Oh, very cool.
So that's why we named it Ron Bennington. There we go.
There you go.
We have the cookie dough, that's a kid's favorite, and cookie and cream, and Samoa, and then the cake batter cupcake as well. And we, of course, at the locations, we have another 10 other flavors available too. So you just have to come and check us out.
So every day when you come in, it's not just the classics. It's a wide variety.
So there's always
something. Now, I look at these and I think to myself, these would be a great gift if I'm going to somebody's house for the holidays, if I'm going to a party or something. Is there something special going on with gifts at Molly's for the cupcakes?
We will have a Christmas box specially decorated for Christmas.
Okay.
On that box, you will find some Christmas wreaths that will decorate cupcakes and also some Wonderland cupcakes at the Peppermint Bark. They're specially decorated. It's $45 for a dozen.
Ooh.
And there's four different flavors in that box, and they're beautifully decorated. So they're going to be available to order through mollyscupcakeschicago.com.
Okay. Now, though, for that special box, you have to order it online, right?
Advanced. You can also call our store location or Naperville location, too.
But that's not something you can just walk in and get the box. You can walk in and buy cupcakes, but
correct,
you can't walk in and get this special box.
For the special Christmas box, you'd have to give us 24-hour notice.
Oh, okay.
And call the South Loop location or any other location for placing the order in
advance.
That's
not too far in advance. A day. If you're not planning ahead a day, you really need to replan your parties. So National Cupcake Day, again, December 15th. Go into any Molly's location. You can get I'm looking at about 10 different varieties that you guys are offering on National Cupcake Day for 99 cents. 99 cents. Limit one. Bring the family. Give everybody a buck and a half. Go in. Everybody gets a cupcake. Everybody goes home happy on National Cupcake Day. If you want to, there are four Chicagoland locations. Dory's is the South Loop location at 1150 South Wabash. 312-964-5090. Four Chicagoland locations. One location in Naperville. Molly'sCupcakes.com. You can find all. Maybe you're traveling somewhere. Maybe you're going to be in New York or Ohio or where's the other? New York,
Iowa.
Ohio, and Iowa. Maybe you're going out of town. Go to Molly's. You walk through the door with some of those cupcakes, Curtis. What would you think? Suddenly my reputation is back. Suddenly I'm a nice guy again.
Yeah.
Suddenly I'm a guy who gives wonderful cupcakes.
Whoever gets those cupcakes from you could instantly forgive you for whatever you've done.
For whatever I've done, no matter what transgression. Dory, your only transgression is, you don't have one. You came in here tonight. You had fun. Anything else that we forgot about National Cupcake Day or Molly's?
Follow us on Instagram, Molly's Cupcakes Chicago.
I'm going to do that. Because nothing will liven up my Instagram feed. I can only imagine the pictures. I'm going to be hungry all the time.
Absolutely.
That's the problem.
We're just down the street.
There you go. Well, thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you for having me.
Molly'sCupcakes.com and the South Loop location. Go in, ask for Dory. Tell her you heard her here. 1150 South Wabash, 312-964-5090. Thank you for coming in. Happy National Cupcake Day. Enjoy. Go to Molly's. 99-cent cupcakes, one per person. On the 15th. Fantastic.
Stay sweet. Thank you for having me.
You are welcome, and we will try to stay sweet. I'm not going to guarantee anything, Dory, but I'm going to do my absolute best.
I think we're on the right track here.
We definitely are. Curtis, some plates and knives.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Dory. We'll talk to you again. All right, let's do this. Then there's more. It's WGN. All right. Thanks again to Molly's for coming in to help us celebrate National Cupcake. All right. I need to know from you, Do you eat a cupcake whole, or are you like me? I break the bottom part off. I break off the cake, and I eat that, and then I save the kind of the cupcake top with all the frosting. I eat that second because that's the big treat. Now, these cupcakes, and some cupcakes are center-filled, so you're going to, even with the just the cake bottom, you're going to get some filling. But I am, I am all about just devouring these things. This is not good. So I got Curtis is going to come in, and we are going to have a lot of people calling in about their cupcakes. Yes, cupcake. It is funny because I know some people are like, "Oh man, cupcakes have gotten expensive," and they have, but they're not. Again, cupcakes have evolved, just like we have all evolved. Hopefully, a little bit. Cupcakes have evolved, and now they're, you know, Curtis, I'll post a picture of them. It's not just these, but you go to any of these cupcake places, and it's gourmet cupcakes. So, yeah, could you make them cheaper at home? Probably, but are they going to be filled with stuff? Are they going to have crazy things on top of them? No. Just know this, while you are listening to the news, Curtis and I will be throwing ourselves into some cupcakes. We will report back to you how it goes. After 11 o'clock, you do not want to miss our guest. Bobby Jenks is going to be here, former closer for the Chicago White Sox. Has a fantastic and scary and sad story and ultimately uplifting. He will share that story with us after the news at 11 o'clock. But let's do this first. It's WGN.
Man, there sure is a lot of yelling on the TV and radio these days. If you need a break from all that chatter, listen to House Smarts Radio with me, Lou Manfredini, Saturday morning starting at 7 a.m. But the only controversy you'll hear from me is whether to use eggshell or satin. Eggshell.
House Smarts Radio with Lou Manfredini. Sponsored by Ace, the helpful place. Tomorrow morning on 720 WGN.
At GWC, we pride ourselves on being a preeminent injury law firm from Chicago. Our office is in Chicago. Our roots and families are Chicago. But despite what you see and hear in a lot of lawyer advertising, that's not necessarily always true. Many law firms that advertise in the Chicagoland market are not even from Illinois. And unless you ask the question and get an honest answer, you'll never even know the truth. Similarly, there are a lot of fine trial lawyers who actually try cases. Many lawyers, though, who advertise on TV and billboards and radio, truth be told, don't ever even try a case. They just want you to think they're ferocious lawyers in the courtroom. If you're looking for a Chicago trial lawyer to represent you in your personal injury case, call the trial lawyer firm with close to 100 employees right here in downtown Chicago, ready to get you the money you deserve, whether by settlement or by trial. I'm attorney Lou Cairo, managing partner and owner of the GWC Law Firm, and you have my word on it. Call us at 999-9999 or visit us at justicestartstoday.com.
Real ID is a new optional form of identification for people who travel domestically. Now, you won't need a Real ID to drive a car or get a bank account or adopt that cute golden doodle that you've always wanted. But starting October 1st, 2020, you'll need a Real ID or a valid passport in order to fly. Head on over to realid.ilsos.gov to learn more. If you do choose Real ID, just follow these steps. First, visit a Secretary of State Driver Services facility to take a new photo. Make sure to bring a proof of identity and proof of social security number. You'll also need two proof of Illinois residency documents. During your visit, you'll receive a temporary paper license. Then you'll receive your new Real ID in the mail within 15 business days. Be patient and prepared with the necessary documents when visiting a facility. You have until October 1st, 2020 to get one. Just head on over to realid.ilsos.gov or call 833-503-4074 for more information.
Grandview buys homes. I'm Tom Detlich, and you've been hearing me say those words for years. Grandview is the fastest and easiest way to sell your home. No real estate agents, no months of showing your home to strangers. We will buy your home directly from you in as little as 10 days. So visit GrandviewHomes.com.
Have you experienced MyPillow bed sheets yet? These sheets are incredible, and they'll make the perfect holiday gift. MyPillow bed sheets are guaranteed to be the finest bed sheets you'll ever own. Right now, MyPillow is offering buy one, get one free sets of bed sheets, plus free shipping. Yeah, that is an offer. Just use promo code WGN at checkout. You can get one set of MyPillow bed sheets for a family member or friend and keep the other set for yourself. MyPillow bed sheets are made with 100% certified Giza Egyptian cotton. They're ultra soft and breathable. You'll love how these sheets feel. And MyPillow is extending their money-back guarantee through March 1st. Try them out. You don't love them? Well, return them for a full refund. MyPillow bed sheets will make the perfect gift this holiday season. Call 800-299-9579. 800-299-9579 or go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code WGN for buy one, get one free sets of bed sheets plus free shipping. There you go. All right. We were talking before about your reputation and should you be judged for the entirety of your life or your worst day? We were using it in the context of Eddie Johnson. He said, you know, reputations shouldn't be destroyed or can't be destroyed in a day, which I completely disagree with. From the 847, if what Eddie Johnson did on his worst day was have a few too many drinks and drove his car when he shouldn't have, then yes, I would be able to forgive that. However, if you take what O.J. Simpson did on his worst day, then no, I would never be able to forgive that, which makes sense. So there is a sliding scale. Somebody else, different scenarios. Whitney Houston, she was nothing like the public Whitney. So a lot of, you know, her worst day, can you judge her for that? On the other side of the news, former White Sox closer Bobby Jenks will join us. His story in the Players' Tribune is a must-read. You go read that now and then come back because we are going to talk to Bobby Jenks on the other side of the news here on WGN.
There's a chopper. Come on, Juan. And Bobby Jenks has tied a major league record. He tied 41 consecutive hits.
Brian Noonan, 720 WGN. White Sox fans, you remember number 45. You remember that call. Bobby Jenks, closer for the White Sox, helped the White Sox win the World Series in 2005. Then in 2011, he gets traded to the Red Sox. He has a new story in the Players' Tribune called Scar Tissue. You need to read it. If you've wondered, hey, whatever happened to Bobby Jenks? Read this story because it will tell you. But he'll tell us himself. Bobby Jenks joins us now on WGN. Bobby, thanks for coming on tonight. I really appreciate it. Before we get started, I just want to say I am a fan, and thanks for helping the Sox win the World Series in 2005.
Thanks, Brian. I really appreciate that. And trust me, that was all my pleasure just as much.
All right. Now, scar tissue. The story, as I read it, it was infuriating. It was sad, it was terrifying, and in the end, uplifting. Why did you decide this was the time to tell this story?
Well, you know, I wanted to get not only people's attention, but I thought it was more important to shed light on what happened to me to cause light to be shined on the situation of the concurrent surgeries. And I figured the best way to do that was just tell everybody from the beginning what happened to me. And, you know, honestly, that was, you know, a lot of stuff in there that, you know, for a long time that I was trying to hide and really just bury as much as possible. But I thought the more important thing to do was if I'm going to help others, I needed to help myself first. And in order to do that, people need to know where I'm coming from so they have a better place to relate to.
Well, I will say you didn't gloss over, or it doesn't seem like you glossed over a lot of the more embarrassing, to use your words, details of this story. Let's go back then. Let's say how this all started. You get traded to Boston, and in 2011, the season starts out okay. You're doing pretty good, and then all of a sudden you're pitching against the Yankees, and what happened?
Yeah, so, you know, that year in 2011, everything was on track. I mean, I was healthy. I had a great spring training. Yeah, I think I only pitched maybe 17 games that year because it started off early. I tore my bicep, so I went on the DL, came back, tried to make a couple of rehab starts down in the minor leagues. Something wasn't right. I couldn't get loose. I go get X-rays done on. They find a pulmonary embolism in my lung.
Oh, jeez.
So, and when they found the embolism, that's when we noticed what was going on with my actual spine. So,
well, because explain the you were having trouble. You felt you were pitching, and you felt something, and you described it in a way I haven't heard anything described. You know, most people will say a stabbing pain like a knife, but you described it as a pain like somebody was using a spoon to go in your back.
Yeah, because it wasn't very sharp. That's why I use a spoon. Like, you can't really, it's a good illustration is visually.
Yeah.
Knives are sharp. It's a sharp pain. But a spoon, it was very dull and throbbing, but it felt like it was really deep. I can tell it wasn't muscular. That's why I say it was very dull and spoon like, because of, the round edges. It just felt like something was in there was just. I just knew something wasn't right, because it was a very indescribable experience.
But the pain keeps going on, and anybody who's dealt with pain, when doctors can't figure it out, it's a very helpless feeling, right?
Yeah, very much so. Because in the beginning of that year when this started, we couldn't really figure out where it was, because I was having the pain. A lot of it was coming from in my left scapula, underneath my shoulder blade, and it was shooting around underneath my armpit. So we were thinking something, in the beginning, something very, maybe muscular or connected to my ribs,
right,
or some sort of nerve damage in there. It wasn't until later with these x-rays on my lungs that, we figured out that it was a spinal issue that was causing all the problems.
So they finally figure it out. That has to, in some way, that has to be a relief, because at least now you know what's going on. But when they give you this diagnosis, how does it, in your mind, you have to be thinking, how's this going to affect my career? What did they tell you at that point once they figured out what the problem was?
Oh, you're absolutely right. That was my first question, especially when it comes to an injury, involving the spine or anywhere in the back that, am I going to be able to play again?
Yeah.
And, after a bunch of doctor visits, I was reassured that this was going to be a simple, quick surgery that I was going to have in the middle of the season, and I was going to be ready for spring training. The next season wasn't going to be a problem. I was going to be good to go.
Okay.
And, that's why I put a lot of my trust into that idea where, the surgery was going to be simple.
Well, yeah, and when the doctors are all telling you that, you have no reason not to believe it. I think we all suffer from that, where we think doctors should know what they're talking about. So if they tell you it's going to be an easy surgery, okay, let's do it.
Especially coming from where I was seeing the doctor and what hospitals. And I was at Mass General, one of the top hospitals in the country, with the head surgeon of back and spine at the time, who's running that place. You would assume that you were in pretty good hands.
Yeah, that's the problem. We put our trust sometimes in people who really don't deserve it. So you have the surgery. When you come out of the surgery, do they reassure you? What's the mood when you're done?
Oh yeah, I woke up out of the anesthesia, and there was no problems. Everything went fine. I believe the next day our team doctor with the Red Sox came in and reassured that. The doctor said everything was good. There was no complications. Everything was fine. And it was a smooth surgery. That was all the information that I was given.
All right. So now you have this surgery. Everything's supposed to be fine. You start rehabbing. You go back home to Arizona. And before we take the break, this part scared me the most. And I think anybody who's had surgery or a back problem is going to be as horrified as you obviously were. Tell us what happened when you were sitting on the couch, your kids are outside at the pool. How did you realize that something was really wrong?
When I told this story the very first time, I've tried to make it very playful, like the kids, but I'll just say it as is. I thought it was one of my little ones joking around with dad, because at the time my two youngest were both very young, maybe 4 or 5,
yeah,
at the time, and I thought they were playing around because they didn't fully understand, dad was on the couch for a reason. He's rehabbing or resting his back, so he had surgery, and I thought one of them had dumped an entire bottle of water on my back. Okay. My shirt was soaked from about halfway down to the bottom of my shirt, and you can't get that kind of soaked unless it's
a lot. There's a lot of fluid coming out. Yeah, one way or another.
Come to find out, I had my ex come look at it, and the bottom of my incision had blown open about 1/4 inch from the bottom.
Ugh.
And it was just oozing out spinal fluid. Well, I didn't know it was spinal fluid at the time, But it, you know, after seeing another physician down the road, kind of it was spinal fluid that I was leaking.
Jeez, that's horrifying. All right, we got to take a quick break, Bobby. But when we come back, I want to talk about. So now this has happened. The initial surgery, obviously, something went horribly wrong. We have to touch on what happened when you tried to go back and you went to Florida and things had taken a bad turn. And then we got to talk a little bit about this concurrent surgery thing, which until I read your story, I had not heard anything about. And it's terrifying. Yeah. Scar tissue is Bobby Jenks' story in the Players Tribune. Go to playerstribune.com to read it. We've got links to it here. Bobby Jenks is my guest. Bobby, hang on 1 second and we'll be right back with you right here, 720 WGN. All right, Bobby Jenks, former closer for the Chicago White Sox, is my guest. His story, Scar Tissue, is available now on the Players Tribune. All right, so we're going to have to jump ahead because I've only got you for a few minutes, Bobby. But when we were last talking, all this fluid's coming out. So you go see some doctors in Arizona to make it an understatement of the nth degree. They find out that your surgeon in Boston screwed the pooch. They really messed up. So now you have
to
have...
Go
ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah. So, when I went and found out that it was spinal fluid leaking, I was sent to the emergency room right away. By the time I got there, they had, people waiting for me outside to take me in because of the severity of the situation. And so... basically, I wake up have an emergency surgery, wake up out of anesthesia, and, the way I see it, the doctor who saved my life, Dr. Christopher Young, he, first words out of his mouth, he said, son, you're lucky to be alive. Jeez. I was stunned. I was taken back, the severity of it hadn't really, not only dawned on me that deeply, but I didn't realize how close I was to actually not being here anymore.
Yeah. That's unbelievable. So they tell you have to have this surgery, that they think they can fix everything, but you have to have this surgery. And at this point, this doctor is straight up with you. This surgery will end your baseball career, right?
Not so much in those words, but okay. He didn't give me very good odds.
Okay. Okay.
So after the second surgery, he fixed... not only what the first doctor should have done and cleaned up his mess, he also completed the surgery that he was supposed to do in the first place.
Okay.
And on top of that, I had gotten an infection in my spine, we will never know, but I got an infection caused from it, and this infection had almost reached the top of my spine to my brainstem, which would have put me lights out. So I'd been on... The deterioration caused by the two surgeries and then the infection on top of it, he didn't like my odds going back, but I was still in the mindset of, I'm going to make this work. I can come back from this.
Yeah, and all these surgeries and all these injuries taking a toll not only on you physically, but mentally, and then with all this pain, you got addicted to painkillers and things...
I did.
Things got bad for a while.
For quite a bit. I went back into spring training that year in 2012. And, a few months earlier, I had went and, checked into a detox place thinking, I was good. I got it all out of my system.
Yeah.
I was going to show up to spring training and I was going to be good. But, addiction doesn't work that way. And it wasn't but 2 weeks in, and maybe even less, that I phoned up and was able to get my hands on more Percocets and other pain pills, and I was right back into the same system again of in my addiction.
And then your ex had an intervention for you. You go into rehab, and happy to say, over 7 years sober. Correct?
Yes, correct.
Congratulations! That is a huge accomplishment.
You.
One day at a time. Keep it going.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't say it gets easier, but it gets less hard the longer you stick with it.
And we won't go into all the details. That's what people have to read. Scar Tissue. Go to the Players Tribune. But I do want to get into this now. Something I had never heard of, and this is now your cause, the concurrent surgery. Tell people what that is, because, like I said, I had never heard of this.
Yeah, so that's the whole focal point of this this article, is to bring awareness and hopefully a stop to the practice of concurrent surgery. And that is when a doctor is overseeing two surgeries at the same time.
I didn't even know that was possible.
At the same time.
So in separate rooms?
This is what happened to you, right?
Separate rooms?
Yes. A room right next to me. You know, we went under the anesthesia roughly 5 minutes apart. And, you know, whether he was in my room the entire time or he was out of my room, we'll never know. You know, only the doctor and the people in the OR actually know what actually happened. And, but the point is, he was distracted. He wasn't there. He was in two rooms at the same time, which physically you cannot do. And he, during his negligence, he messed my back up completely, ruined my career, and it just became a complete nightmare.
And now, do you know, in all the, you know, when your attorneys and you were doing all this investigation, was the other person, did the other person suffer as well?
We weren't able to get access to the patient next to me, but we, during this whole process, we were able to get in contact with a lot of others who had surgery performed by this same doctor, who were also in malpractice suits. You know, come to find out that they've been this hospital, and not only this doctor, but I'm sure other doctors. I can't say that for sure, but I just know and can speak of my own personal experience that he was performing these on a regular basis with the hospital's knowledge.
That's unbelievable.
There were many cases where a lot of negligence had happened during his surgeries. And I can speak about my case, which I'm going to do in more detail in the future, because I'm going to put my biggest foot forward to make sure that this comes to an end so this doesn't happen to anybody else.
And, you know, we should say that you did settle with the hospital out of court. But if you look at what you settled for, minus all the fees, based on what your career would have been, it's a pittance.
Yeah, I mean, in the long run, yes, it wasn't even close of what it could have been.
Right.
But in the big picture, it's, you know, it was never about the money. It was all about getting the win and making this, and bringing this subject into the limelight.
So people need to ask, because, again, I had never heard of this until I read your story, Scar Tissue, on the Players Tribune. Concurrent surgery, if you're going in for surgery, make sure you're bringing this up to your doctors, going, hey, what's the policy here? Because I don't want anything to do with this.
100%, because they are not legally obligated to tell you that is even going on.
That's unbelievable. So what's next, Bobby? What are you up to? What are you up to now? What's the future hold for Bobby Jacks?
Well, you know, hopefully I've got a few things in the work, but right now my primary focus is this. You know, now that the case is over, I'm finally able to try to go somewhere with this. But, you know, on the side, I still do, you know, I still do some coaching and things like that around for the locals, do a lot of private lessons. You know, I've coached my kids' T-ball team this year, just some small things like that. But hopefully there's some bigger things coming in the future with a company I've been working with out of South Africa. So hopefully that's...
we wish you nothing but the best.
That's going to be in the project soon.
Wish you nothing but the best. Congratulations again on the sobriety. Keep fighting the good fight on that. And you will always have a special place in the hearts of Sox fans for your contribution to the World Series. And thank you for sharing your story. I'm sorry you had to go through it, but thank you for having the strength to share that with us to help anybody who's going in for any kind of surgery be aware of what can happen, because doctors can, you know, they could do what they want without having to tell us. So, Bobby, I really appreciate your time tonight. Thank you very much, and continued success in the future, man.
No, thank you, Brian. I really appreciate the time and just letting me come on and not only share my story, but help bring awareness to the problem that's happening now.
Well, that's the only thing we can do now is share that awareness. Bobby, take care. Thanks again.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. That's Bobby Jenks, number 45. You know him. All right, remember, if you take nothing away from that, and go read Scar Tissue on the Players Tribune. It is gut-wrenching what he went through. make sure you're asking your doctors what's going on before they put you under for some sort of operation. All right. Why should you stay away from tiny children? I'll share that story after this. WGN. All right, after midnight, we will talk a little beer. It's at the breweries. John Corella, Jesse Valenciano, Cody Goff all joining me. We will talk about some big stories in the beer industry. If you are a craft beer drinker, you've probably been following some of these stories. If you're not, these will affect beers that you you buy and you enjoy. So we'll talk about that. We will get some recommendations for good seasonal beers and answer any of your questions. So all that coming up after midnight. Thank you again to Bobby Jenks for joining us. If you missed any part of that interview, Curtis is getting ready. It'll be podcast very soon. You can go to WGNradio.com, and you can go to my page. We'll just put it on my page there, Curtis, as well as the main page. And you know, you can hear Bobby Jenks' story. But again, we were only able to talk to him for 20-some minutes. Go read Scar Tissue and see that. I had never heard of that, concurrent surgery, and I can't believe it's a thing. But, you know, now we all know, so now we can all be aware. The other thing you need to be aware of is spending any time around toddlers or preschoolers. Now, Curtis, I don't know if you know this. I substitute teach sometimes in my when I'm not here entertaining people here on WGN. I like to help mold the youth of America.
I think you do a good job of molding the youth of America. You have a lot of wisdom to share.
Well, thank you. You're obviously drunk on cupcakes. I have some wisdom. I try not to share that because then I feel I don't have the upper hand. So I share things with the children that, you know, they could probably use. But, yeah, but no, I enjoy it. Well, today I got a call. Hey, can you come in? Can you come in and sub? And it's a school that I like. So I was like, yeah, all right, I'll go in. I get there. They didn't tell me what I was doing. I get there, and they're like, oh, you're going to be in preschool all morning.
Oh, God.
3 and 4-year-olds, Curtis, who were about three to 4 feet tall. Not even 4 feet. 3 feet tall, man.
Yeah.
Now, look at me as I stand here, all 6'5" of me, and imagine where a 3-foot four-year-old is going to come up on my body. And that's a weird sentence that came out clumsily. But imagine where you know, the height differential.
Oh, yeah.
Differential? What happened? I'm drunk on cupcakes.
It's that peppermint.
It is. It's very, it was quite tasty. Anyway, so I've been in preschool before, and I'm always very cognizant of the children running about. Because I feel almost like I'm the green giant and they're little green sprouts. And at any point, I could step on them and mash them into nothingness. So I'm always watching where they are because, quite frankly, if you've ever been around not just 1 or 2 4-year-olds, but imagine being around 24-year-olds at one time. 24-year-olds all kind of dripping goo out of their heads because they are, and they're running about and things are crazy. So today was a day. And if you've dealt with children, please feel free to jump in with your preschooler stories, because I'd love it. I'd love to share the misery. So I'm in the classroom and everything's going fine. And part of the time, the kids go to centers and they're playing with different things. And there's free play is a very big thing now in preschool and kindergarten. There should be time for free play because it helps kids socialize, which I completely agree with. Because at 4 years old, you don't need a kid sitting trying to learn the alphabet all the time. We do some of that. There is actual education. But then the other sort of education, the kind that sometimes gets short shrift, is learning to play with others, learning to share, learning different skills, learning to move around and adapt and change course and things like that. So one of the things they do is they get a snack because, you know, you don't want four-year-olds getting drowsy. God forbid they slow down a little bit.
Well, if they get drowsy, you put them in nap time.
Oh, no nap time.
We're no going. Nap time?
No, because preschool is half day. It's not.
Oh, it's half
boom,
day.
Boom,
okay.
Boom, boom. So they have snack. Well, I was up at the snack center helping kids open milk and juice because they can't. You know, they can't open the cartons because you remember in school how hard those cardboard cartons are to open. You know, you go to the side with the arrow, which most kids don't. They try to open both sides, or they're trying to poke a hole in the side. They have no clue. Well, because they're four. So I was opening this, and I'm standing there, and I'm talking to one young kid about something. When all of a sudden, and I don't even see this happening out of my peripheral vision, one of the kids, Danny, let's call him Danny, because that's his name. His name is Danny. I'm not going to lie. I don't think he could sue me. He's four, and there's a million Dannys in the world. So I don't see Danny coming, but Danny wants to talk to me. Well, instead of Danny just coming up while I'm talking to somebody else and saying, Mr. Noonan, Mr. Noonan, Mr. Noonan, or hey, you, or teacher, or whatever Danny's going to call me, Danny decides he's going to take his fist. And he's going to bring his fist down in a chopping motion. And that chopping motion hit me where no man wants to be hit with a chopping motion. And I know you're thinking, well, he's only four. How much damage could he have done? I doubled over like I haven't doubled over in ages. I don't remember the last time I got hit there. But this was excruciating. I doubled over and I let out a, oh! Now, I would like some credit because I did not curse. And you know me, you know I love to work in profanities. But I also remembered that I was in preschool. And a string of profanities coming out of my mouth in front of these four-year-olds probably would not have been the best thing on a Friday morning. So I was like, ugh! And the minute I grunted like that, Danny latched onto my leg. Now, I'm doubled over, and I'm trying to get out the door into the hallway because I know if I stay in the room, I'm either going to throw up or I'm going to pass out, and I needed to get in the hall. And Danny is on my leg, and I'm like, get off. Danny, get off my leg. Danny, get off my leg. And I yelled to the aide who was in there. I said, I need a minute. And she's like, oh, my God, what happened? I need a minute. I went out in the hall for about 5 minutes, and I thought that I was going to pass out. It was the most unbelievable thing. Now, Danny, it was unintended. Danny didn't hit me there on purpose. He didn't try to drop me out of a sense of malice. He's four. He wanted my attention. He was going to swat at me. I don't know. It was just. Do you remember the last time you got hit there, Curtis?
Oh God, no. Thankfully not.
Yeah, it was. So then, I was covering for meetings, and the regular teacher came back before I left, and the aide told her what happened, and she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, are you ever going to come back? And I said, yes, I'll come back. That was not the worst of it. Well, no, that was the worst of it, but it didn't end there. Then, I had foot surgery, both my feet surgically enhanced, so now I have bionic feet. So I'm standing by the sink, and all the kids come over, and they get on this little step stool to wash their hands before they have snack time. One of the girls is a little bigger than the other kids. And she comes running over to get on the step stool. And when she steps up, she steps on the edge so it kind of pops up one side. And as I go to catch her, my foot, unbeknownst to me, goes under the step stool. And then she plants with both feet. Almost like my foot was in a guillotine. And now I'm screaming, get off the stool, get off the stool, get off the stool. And the aide is like, oh my God, what happened, Mr. My foot, okay, she good. So now I've been injured twice. It's not even 10:30. Been injured twice. The funniest part of the whole thing. This is the part you will laugh at. If you haven't already laughed at my nards getting smacked and my foot getting chopped off. One of the kids, this cute little kid. This kid's probably three, this kid. Big glasses. If you were casting a precocious preschooler, this kid gets the part. Hands down. No question. Bring him in. Sign him up. He's doing the sequel, too. Everything's fine. Well, he comes over with a stuffed snake to me. And I jokingly go, don't bring the snake to me. I'm scared of snakes. So he runs away laughing. And then he does what all four-year-olds do. They keep coming back.
Of course.
So I keep saying, oh, no, you're scared. Don't, you're scaring me, you're scaring me, you're scaring me. Oh, stop with the snake. And he's laughing, he's laughing, he's laughing. And I'm like, oh, this is nice. I almost forget the pain in my nards. Not completely, but I almost forget it temporarily. I'm like, okay, that'll, that goes away.
It's a good distraction.
It is a good distraction. Because now, instead of the throbbing foot distracting me from the throbbing region, now I've got the laughter of a small child. And that makes everything okay, to a point. Not everything. Tommy's still on my list. But then I see him walk over to another kid, and I'm standing right behind him, and he's got the snake, and he taps the other kid on the shoulder, and he goes, "Hey, I just scared the old man." I'm like, "Oh, no, really?"
He said old man?
He said old man.
Oh, wow.
"I just scared the old man." And I was like, "Oh, wow. Now not only am I physically bruised, but I'm emotionally battered by a 24-year-old.
Another one gets added to the list.
They did me in today. I scared the old man. And he didn't stop with one. He went all around the room. He would tell anybody that would listen that he scared the old man with this Beanie Baby snake. Oh, I wasn't really scared, but what am I going to do? You didn't scare me. I'm not going to throw down in front of this kid. Going to, you know, post up. "Hey, man, you didn't scare me. You think you scared me with a stuffed snake? Tell your story walking, Pee-wee. I didn't, you know, that doesn't make me look good. That makes me look worse than if I swear when Tommy, you know, tomahawks me right in the nards." It's the whole thing is just crazy. So that's why I was a little off when I got in tonight. Things have been a little crazy today.
And you panicked?
I panicked when I got here because, you know, I didn't know. I thought we were starting at 10. Then I get in and the Hawks are done. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh. So, yeah, it's just been a day. But we're all here, and that's all that matters. And there's good news. Finally, there's some good news. So we'll talk about a little good news after this. 720 WGN. Brian Noonan, 720 WGN. After the news, we're going to talk some beer. So if you have a beer question, if you have some beer that you feel you need to share with the world, then you need to talk to us afterwards. Somebody texted in that I should teach the kids how to drink beer. That would be a better thing for me to teach them. You know what I should teach them? Not to hit guys in the region. To be careful where you swing. That was awful. Anyway. I told you there was some good news. There is good news. And we're going to lump it together. We've got some dog news. We got a couple dog news stories. That's right. It's a new segment, Dog News. Not a new segment at all. It's just, this was good news. You probably remember the story that the end of October, there was a puppy that was stolen from the adoption center inside PetSmart on Canal Street. It was an anti-cruelty society adoption center. So this poor little puppy, this three-month-old Australian shepherd, is stolen. Well, the good news is they found him today.
Yay.
Yay, that's good news, isn't it? We like a little good news in this world we live in.
I just love dogs.
I love dogs, too. Some days I don't like my dogs. Some days I just tolerate them. Most days I love them.
What kind of dogs?
They're both mutts.
Okay.
Which I think, and I'll fight somebody for this, I think they're the best kind of dogs. One, because I think deep down, I mean, they're all rescues. I've always had rescues. I think deep down, they know that they're lucky. That, you know, a purebred is a little bit snooty. And my brothers have had purebred dogs, and they're fine. They're lovely animals.
I would say I have a purebred German Shepherd.
Ooh.
And wow. I love German Shepherds.
Sure, because you like to, you know, turn them loose on protesters.
No, not that.
you like to pretend you're a narc.
They have personalities.
I'm sure they're supposed to be very, very smart and very, very loyal. Is that correct?
My dog, my dog, my mom's been teaching her scent training. So,
really?
Yeah, so basically they have like little canisters of like a pine or birch or oak, like some sort of like wood scent.
Okay.
And she hides it, you know, either like throughout the house or in like little tins of like, or not tins, excuse me, tubs of like sand and stuff. And she buries them. And of course the dog is in the other room, so she can't see it. And my dog was in a competition and she found both are two items in 35 seconds.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, what is that? Is that just for shows and competitions? Is there a real world application for
this? Part of it is how they do go about training, like drug dog sniffers and bomb and human dog sniffers for like.
Are you going to freelance if this doesn't work out? This radio thing, you get a freelance with your dog is bomb sniffing.
One, my apartment building doesn't allow dogs, so sadly I can't.
Horrible.
I can't do it. I know, but. Also, too, there's like competitions and stuff. There's like that fun side of it, too. So actually, the person who's trains my dog, my mom's dog, and the scent training and all that stuff, her dog is a corgi. And ooh, I love it's those. It's
the
found
queen, the queen loves those too.
Yeah. It's found its two items in like 20 seconds.
Oh man.
So it's very quick.
So does that well, it's also smaller. It's closer to the ground where the scents are.
Yeah.
Your dog has another at least second for the scent to get up high enough
get
to his nose.
Enough. Yeah,
because German Shepherds, pretty good-sized dogs. So, yeah, and I'm guessing if the German Shepherd wanted to, he'd put an end to that corgi, no problem.
My dog is very friendly.
Of course it is.
But
all
I'm not
dogs
just,
are friendly.
I was, well,
until
of course.
They're not.
But if she wanted to, she could scare somebody.
Right.
She has like her friendly, like playful bark, but then she has like her big girl, like protective bark. Or like if some like or she gets pissed off at the neighbor's dog for some reason, and she'll get like really deep, like something you wouldn't really like expect. Almost like a.
I like that. I like when a dog holds it back. It's like when you're dealing with your kids.
Yeah.
You have a voice, and then you have the. That's it. I've reached the end of my rope. This is it. This is it voice. And the dogs have that same thing.
Or who the heck are you?
Yeah.
What are you doing on my property? Get away from my family. Yeah, exactly.
Very nice. So now I have no sense of smell, so I'm very envious of your dog to be able. Why are you laughing at my handicap?
Well, I'm laughing at the fact because, I mean, I don't think any humans have any comparable sense of smell.
Well, I have none. I have zero.
Compared to a dog.
No, I have zero compared to you.
Well, I don't know
about that. No, it's a well-known fact. I've talked about it before. Yeah, I have no sense of smell. So I couldn't smell the cupcakes. I can't smell your BO. You just look like you'd stink a little bit. But, that's all right. You've been working all day. All right.
Just about.
So your dog is a purebred, and it's good, and you love your dog every day.
Yes.
My dogs are mutts, and I love them 95% of the time because they don't have any skills like your dog. Their skill is laying around and shedding. So those are their skills. But at least they have never just about killed me. Unlike a Chihuahua in Slidell, Louisiana.
Well, that's the first mistake. You get a Chihuahua.
Yeah, if you're getting a Chihuahua, I don't know. When I was a kid, my aunt had a Chihuahua. And it was the most annoying thing on four legs. And if you own a Chihuahua, please, I know you love your dog. You don't have to justify it. Everybody's welcome to have their own kind of dog. I don't like them.
My sister calls them oversized rats.
Well, send your angry letters to Curtis's sister, care of WGN Radio. The Slidell Police Department says a man and woman stopped to pump some gas in their SUV. At some point between the gas being pumped and the customers paying and leaving, police say the Chihuahua put the car in reverse. I'm getting out of here. No one else was inside the car at the time. I just see the tie. I keep hearing the voice of the Taco Bell Chihuahua from back in the day, which I'm sure is politically incorrect. I understand. But unfortunately, I grew up at a time when that commercial was everywhere. Yokiro Taco Bell. I get it. I'm sorry. But that's the voice I hear when I think of a Chihuahua trying to drive a getaway car. Nobody knows how the dog put the car in gear, but it is a miracle that no other cars were hit because the SUV began moving backwards and came to a stop at another gas station across the street. Maybe this gas station did not have the convenience store that the Chihuahua likes. And he knew across the street, oh, those guys not only have beer and hot dogs on the rotisserie, but they have dog treats in there too. So I'm going to hightail it across the street, no pun intended, to get my treats over there.
Did you ever see the video that popped up just recently? A dog put the car into reverse, but it had the steering wheel pushed the one way. So for an hour or something,
and
it was spinning in a circle.
Somebody had to try to jump in the car. See, that's why, you know, cats aren't going to do that because cats, if they steal your car, they're just going to run you over. And then they're going to get out and they're going to stab you. But be careful. Don't leave your car running with your dog in it.
Oh, this little refrain should help me explain. As a matter of fact, I like beer.
Welcome to another edition of At the Breweries.
Give me a keg of beer.
Pull up a bar stool and get ready to join the keg-versation.
A shark on whiskey is mighty risky. A shark on beer is a beer engineer.
Your one-stop shop for brews in the news is on tap.
Beer, more beer, and more beer.
Here's At the Breweries with Brian Noonan.
Yes, At the Breweries has come to Friday night, Saturday morning. The time might be a little different, but the crew remains the same. Very excited to say hello to the man who has spent over a decade putting up with me. Cody Goff is here.
Hi, Brian.
On this side of the glass.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm uncomfortable with it, but we'll try to make do. Good to see you. John Carruthers is here from Revolution Brewing, one of the founders of ManBQ, a beer aficionado, a meat expert, a man who can cook and drink at the same time and still somehow not put on any weight. Jesse Valenciana is here. And we are joined by a special guest, Jim, pronounce your last name for me.
Plackey.
Jim Plackey from Good Beer Hunting. You can go to goodbeerhunting.com. There's stories, sightlines, podcasts, everything about beer is there. I'm concerned about the big headline on the front page, the home page.
Yeah.
That White Claw could be the only thing that saves craft beer from itself. How can that be? I know Jesse, John, you follow Jesse on Instagram. Jesse, very basic, likes to post pictures of himself
with
the White Claw as well. Now, how can that be, John? Jim, how can White Claw save craft beer?
This article was written by the wonderful Dave Holmes, who some might know from Esquire magazine, I believe. And he
Esquire. Esquire magazine.
Wow.
Esquire. It's French.
Wow.
And
we're still on terrestrial radio. Go ahead. So it's written by a fine writer from Esquire magazine.
Dave Holmes.
What's in that mug? Sorry, so
beer,
Dave Holmes
beer,
wrote this.
And
what,
more beer.
What does he theorize? How does he make this point?
He says that some people just need to get back to not thinking when they're drinking.
It's not thinking when they're drinking.
Just it's lime-ish flavored.
Oh, I
alcohol.
See. Because people are starting to be a little too precious about their beer drinking,
or fatigued by so many flavors all at once. Who can taste so many things all at one time?
Right here,
John
Super Tasters.
John and Jesse. They come in. Their palates are dividing things into
I'm about to taste those cupcakes over there.
Yes, you're welcome. Please, nothing. I'm a big proponent of sweets with beers, especially stout.
The stout, yeah.
Yes, you got to eat some sweets. So good to see you guys. Before we get into some of the beers you've brought, there have been a couple big stories lately about the beer industry. First of all, and I'm sorry to say this, I had never heard of the company that bought Ballast Point.
Oh, yeah, no.
What's going
on? A lot of us.
There's only nine. The company has nine employees. They make 600 barrels, and for reference, how many barrels does Revolution make a year?
85,000.
All right, so 600 compared to 85. They're small. Can we say that without offending anybody? What is the name of this? Kings and Convicts.
Kings and Convicts.
Kings and Convicts.
Angels and Devils.
Wow.
Yeah. I made a joke.
Did you know? What do you know about this beer?
Not a Dan Brown novel.
What's that?
Yeah. It's not a Dan Brown novel.
Okay, we know they have a lot more money than we thought.
Tom Hanks will not be starring in the film.
I mean, don't say never.
Oh, that's true.
But okay, he could star in the Ballast Point story.
Now, Ballast Point has sold a couple times in the last, three or four years?
Well, this is the second time. It sold for $1 billion
that's with
3 years
ago?
Billion. Billion.
Wow.
But yeah, Kings and Convicts, they're a small brewery up in the
Highland?
North Shore. Yeah.
Highwood.
Highwood, that's
there you
it.
Go.
Okay.
And yeah, nobody... This came out of nowhere.
They had 400 Twitter followers when this came out. Their website crashed because everyone's like, what the hell is that place? And then
have you had their beer? Has anybody tried it? No.
Somebody in our community had their amber ale and said it was, you could drink it.
Okay.
It was not rocks.
That's a ringing endorsement.
It was not cat litter.
Well, it's not ramen noodle beer, so I guess that'll be fine.
Wow. At least
never
going to
forget that, huh?
No, I'm never letting that go. Never, never. That I'll go to my grave.
We're known for our amber ale. That's great.
That's all right, so nobody knows about this company.
I jokingly said that they sound like a jean company that does those pants with the embroidered
crosses with the big flaps. Yes, exactly. For guys who still think Ed Hardy is a thing.
Well, it's either that or like the T-shirts that MMA fighters wear.
Oh,
affliction.
Yeah.
You know, like, right? Where do those come from?
It sounds like an affliction thing.
This is like if Byron's Hot Dogs came out tomorrow and like, we are proud owners of the Alinea Group, and we were just like, oh.
Where'd you get all those? A lot of money in hot dogs.
You can't say that Ballast Point is Alinea. It's like if they bought Bon Appetit for something, they're like,
all right. It's like if the Kane County Cougars bought the Cubs.
But Ballast
like,
Point.
Welcome the Cubs to the Kane County Cougars family.
Ballast Point has a pretty impressive history in the craft beer world, right? They've been around a while, and they kind of set the standard out in California.
Yeah, people were paying $15 a six pack for that beer quite recently.
What happened with those guys was, I think they were, I mean, I feel they were overvalued. You know, they were kind of killing the West Coast IPA market. They were like the standard for that.
Okay.
And that's where I think the valuation came in. I don't know where they got $1 billion, but that was right after Lagunitas. So, right. You know, Constellation, it was like their one shot to, you know, they were swinging for the fences, and they're like, this is what we're going to drop, and this is our horse.
And this is the brand we're going to stake it all on.
Heineken bought Lagunitas. Right. ABI bought some obscure brewery I've never heard of. and this was like their that.
Okay. Yeah. So they made that move. Now, does Ballast Point not sell as much? Are they not as popular? Why would they want to get rid of them? Well, except for that somebody came in with a crazy offer.
The price point was, like I said, like $15. It was good beer, but when it's everywhere and it's on grocery shelves and it's still $15, you know, some people like to look local.
Right.
Sometimes something's not as hard to find, so you don't feel you should have to pay as much of a premium.
Yes, exactly.
But also, when they started declining, Constellation cut a lot of their dedicated sales and marketing staff. So instead of people selling only Ballast Point and pushing Ballast Point, it was Constellation employees with a portfolio of things to push. And it's like, hey, you want some mango IPA? And, you know.
No,
people said
don't.
No, I guess.
And they also cut budgets to like their barrel aging program.
They killed the whole barrel aging warehouse.
Yeah.
They
dumped, what was it, 200,000 barrels or something down the drain?
What? And it was, I don't think it was that many, but it was a lot. It was a whole barrel. The whole barrel warehouse full of aging beer. They just dumped the beer because it would have been too much money to bottle it, market it, sell
That's
it.
That's insane.
And I think it was
we could have taken a couple straws out there, Cody, and taken care of business.
Why are we not brewing?
It was literally double what Revolution does in barrels in a year. They just dumped
they
on
just
the drain.
Dumped it. Well, then you know what? Then you deserve to be bought out by a 9-employee brewery from Chicago.
The scary thing is that somebody out there has enough money to buy a brewery that was once valued at $1 billion.
Right, and a brewery that a lot of people, even people who are really entrenched in the industry, like you guys, hadn't really heard of, you know?
That's wild. I heard that one of the investors behind that, Jim, correct me if I'm wrong, owns interest in Franzia.
No, Cupcake Wines.
Cupcake, that's it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So he's like, apparently they brought him in to finish this deal.
Okay.
He's like, I think he put up the most amount of money for it.
Okay. Now, there's another story with a happy ending. We're going to get into that because Chicago representing big in some of the best breweries of the decade. We'll talk about that. We'll get into some styles. We'll get into some recommendations. If you have a beer question, especially with the holidays coming up, you're going to be going to parties. You don't want to be the schlub showing up with, you know, a sixer old style. That's great for drinking out in the yard while you're smoking a cigar or cutting the grass. But you want to make an impression when you're going to a party.
Yeah.
So you want to bring something nice. We will continue with At the Breweries on the other side. It is 720 WGN. All right. This is At the Breweries. Cody Goff is here, John Carruthers is here, Jesse Valenciana is here, and Jim Plocky from Good Beer Hunting is also here, a new addition to the panel. We were very excited and very confused about the Ballast Point sale, but now Half Acre Beer Company and a couple other breweries, Three Floyds and Metropolitan, all getting shout-outs for being named top 50 breweries of the decade.
You missing anyone in there?
There's somebody, but I can't see it in here.
Shmemba Blubishimin?
Is that in there? See, because I'm reading it. Oh, there it is. Revolution Brewing came in at number 30. Okay, I was like, because I kept thinking, I'm only seeing two names and a runner-up, because Metropolitan got the honorable mention. So congratulations, first of all, John.
Thank you,
John,
that's all me.
John, I know, listen, it's all your tweets and your Instas and your, you know, all your crazy content. But so Revolution is there, Half Acre is there, and Three Floyds, which is in Munster, if people haven't been out there. So that's a pretty big deal, because there's how many breweries now in the United States? Jim?
8,000.
8,000 breweries. So to be in the top 50, not too shabby. Did they give you a little something at the brewery? A little sixer or something?
They were like, drink as much beer as you want.
That's fantastic.
Same deal as every other
John,
day.
Is that right? Fired.
John, guess what? You're still here. Fantastic. Listen, we all don't hear that. So enjoy. That's good, right? I mean, breweries love to have those are the kind of things that help enhance your reputation.
I read through that whole list because that's technically work. That's not
messing around
on the internet at work. and even, I mean, if you just look at the list of honorable mentions, like that is just a killer lineup of breweries.
So do you take these lists serious? Obviously, any best of list is a lot of opinion. But once you're on the list, you're like, oh, yeah, they're right.
Yeah,
absolutely right. Best list ever.
One of the best lists ever, yeah.
I've never seen a list better. Unlike,
top
50 the
lists of the decade.
Second. That was the better list.
It's number 14 on my list of 740 lists of 2017 to 2019.
Wow.
Yep.
That's pretty impressive. So are you doing all right?
What?
No. Because, I hear you ran some sort of a weird beer endurance contest. And
yes.
You may or may not have regurgitated all over yourself. What happened?
May not, but it was real touch and go there.
Okay.
So what this was a piece for the Takeout upcoming. Did something called a beer mile. And if you all out there in AM radio land have not heard about this, it is an act of supreme physical domination where you go to a track. There's a special area where you have to chug a beer before you run a lap, and then you have to stop, open, and chug another one. So you can do four beers
in
over
a mile.
It is horrific.
Are you trying to do it for time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Time and not, yakking.
Well, that I get.
If you expel any beer, you get a penalty lap. You only get one, though. You know, you can, once you start going, you could just keep going, and you only have to do the one lap, so
all
it's
right.
fine. But we brought a woman from Runner's World. Cindy, she runs like 6:30 miles, and she was just like dying.
Really?
Yeah.
This sounds like a college hazing ritual.
It sounds like a fraternity thing.
So if you look up the records, it is overpopulated. The leaderboard is overpopulated with Canadians, and I'm like, yeah, this is a very Canadian seeming thing to me.
So this is like that movie, the Beer Fest movie.
But people do this in like 6 minutes. It's crazy.
Really?
Yeah. I can't run a non-beer mile in 6 minutes.
That's insanity.
It was fun.
So this was for the Takeout, and you write a lot for the Takeout.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a pop-up coming up soon, don't you? Is it tomorrow?
It was yesterday.
It was yesterday. That was soon. You had a pop-up. How was it?
It was great. We sold all the sausage.
Very nice.
We did traditional Swedish potato sausage with fondue, cabbage salad, and we did potatoes for the vegetarians.
Very nice. It's
still the Midwest.
Yes, of course. All right. Let's get into a beer or two before we have to take a break. So what are we looking at just personal favorites for this time of year? Is there a style that we're going to work on today? What's the beer? And if you have any questions, 312-981-7200, that is the number. You can ask any of the guys some beer-related questions.
We're all over the place today as far as beers. The first one, first and foremost, we were drinking Half Acre that we didn't talk about.
Right.
Their original Reaper, it's kind of like a sessionable stout.
It's like 6%.
It's okay. Delicious. I love it.
Maybe year round. Very exciting.
Yeah.
Now Cody has become obsessed with stouts lately.
Yeah.
Why? And it.
We went to Phobab.
We did go to Phobab.
Bourbon barrel aged stouts, number one. I bought about 1,000 bottles of Bourbon County Stout this year. Every bottle I could get my hand on. And I'm just been really into it. I mean, I've had some revolutions lately. The Death Star and then the Plum variant. That's a
Death
stout.
By Plums. That's the same beer with plums.
Perfect. There you go.
No, they, like a secret. Said,
say it. About same
you know,
we just put
sorry,
plums
what I meant
in.
Is it's the same beer with plums.
Yeah.
It's plums.
You like plums?
Plums.
You want some Death Star and plums? We got it.
I don't know. Tis the season. Usually, I'm an eggnog and brandy guy all December, but this year it's stouts. I'm just all about
very
the stouts.
Nice.
Now this is a much lighter stout, and I would agree it's a year round kind of stout because
right.
there are many I've had recently that like. You're going to have in the wintertime, and then you say goodbye for a while.
Well, that's last year when we talked about stouts, you get the Expedition. Who makes the Expedition?
Oh, the Bell's
Expedition.
Bell's
Expedition,
yeah.
Which is...
It's a great stout.
Perfect
it's a
stout.
Great stout, but it's, I think, 11%. It's not
it's
sessionable.
There. Yeah.
It's
I mean,
a one
I guess
bottle,
all beers
and then
can
you
be
take
sessionable.
A nap. Well, sure.
You know?
From the stout conversation, you guys got me turned on to Hubbard's Cave. Which you brought in, and I've just been buying that nonstop every time I go up to the Beermiscuous. I live like two blocks from Beermiscuous now.
I think you have to start going to AA, man. It sounds like
this is a real Kings and Convicts energy you're bringing.
Yeah. Right. Bam! He's going to be a convict after he leaves today. I have a feeling.
AA is this great new bottle shop.
So for somebody who doesn't understand what that means, when you say it's a sessionable stout, who would like to explain what a sessionable stout is?
I mean,
well, what's a stout? First of all, because people see it, and they, I think a lot of the conventional thought for some people is they see a stout and they're very dark, and they think, oh, this is going to be really heavy. So, what's the textbook definition of a stout, and then what makes a stout sessionable?
Well, this is not really technically like a sessionable stout. I mean, like when you talk about session beers, you're mostly talking about like let's say like an IPA. So IPAs are what, like around 5 and higher. So if you have an IPA that comes in at like 3% ABV, you can have more than one.
Right.
So it's like you're having a session, but
so you can drink more than one.
Yeah.
All right.
What's a stout, Jesse?
Yes. What's a stout?
I mean,
boy, all eyes on Jesse tonight. John is John's pulling back. He's still suffering from his beer mile.
Knives out, stout.
It's an ale with a very malt forward bill.
Okay.
Roasted malt.
Roasted malts.
I've missed this.
Yeah, I don't think you could. We've talked about Guinness,
right?
You know, and that comes at a pretty low ABV.
Yeah,
but
it's like 5-something.
Yeah,
four, two.
Yeah,
that's like 4-something.
But if anything, that's a session stout. But it's not. I don't think that's what they go. They're not like Guinness session stout.
So this is the Half Acre, which, as we said, is on the list of top 50 breweries, along with Revolution and Three Floyds. Yes, very well deserved.
Yeah, Half Acre is wonderful beer.
What? Because they've been around for a while too, and they've done a lot of great stuff. Daisy Cutter was one of the ones that really kind of pushed them forward.
It is crazy. Daisy Cutter has been out 10 years now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
See, and you know, for people who have been drinking craft beers for that long, it makes sense. Other people are like, there was craft beer 10 years ago, other than you know Sam Adams or something. Yes.
Yeah,
there has been a lot. How long has Revolution been around?
2010. We'll be hitting 10 years in February.
Very nice.
It was Metropolitan, Half Acre. Well, Goose, Metropolitan, Half Acre, Revolution were kind of the big guys.
Yeah.
Argus has been around for a while, yeah.
Yeah. They have.
Oh, be nice.
All right. So we like this. We like the Half Acre Stout. Now, now that we're talking about kind of the holidays, mm-hmm. Since you guys are both food guys as well,
or Husky
Boys, are stouts more for like desserts? Some stouts like more barrel aged stuff that can be a little sweeter. Those are obviously for dinners. But a stout like this, what would you drink a stout like this with?
If it's got a roasty flavor, and this definitely has
that, very roasty.
You can use it with roasted meats to kind of replace. You know, you get kind of the flavor of a smoked or a grilled meat in the pairing that isn't necessarily present.
Okay.
So, like, if you just have your oven or your crock pot pulled pork, get a nice roasty stout in there and, you know, play it up, play up the natural campfire-ness of some of the malts that go into these.
Now, there's also, like, pastry stouts. Those I would not pair with anything like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's just a huge range of stouts, but something like this, yeah, I agree with John. Nice roasty notes to it. I'd like that with, like, I don't know, like roasted veggies if you want to go down there.
I didn't know you ate vegetables, man.
I had to. Parole officer made me. Well, that's a weird story. We'll talk about it off the air.
Yeah, we'll talk about it off the air, which we're going to go off the air right now. Take a quick break. When we come back, more of At the Breweries. John Carruthers, Jesse Valenciana, Jim Plocky, and the very quiet and increasingly a drunker, Cody Goff.
He's a lazy guy.
We'll do this. Then there's more. It's WGN. Running down a dream, running down a beer, whatever you want to run down. We're here till 1 o'clock. Then it's Matt Bubala doing a little At the Breweries. Usually you used to hear this on Sunday. Now it's here because we're here. It's fantastic. John Carruthers from Revolution Brewing is with us. Jesse Valenciano, one of the founders of Manbic Hue and well-known beer aficionado. And Jim Plocky from Good Beer Hunting, one of the writers there. He is with us as well. As the man that I'm proud to call a guy I married, and he's still married, so my record is intact. Cody Goff is here.
You're 1-0.
Yep, I'm 1-0. Pretty good. If you know anybody who's looking for an officiant, my record is impeccable.
I will endorse him.
Yes, I did one wedding.
Endorse? Is that what it would be?
Sure, it's an endorsement.
He's your sponsor.
How about like and subscribe?
How many stars would you give him on Yelp?
Yeah.
Five.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's nice.
But if you see one 5-star review, you're still going to be skeptical.
True.
You know, really? Did he post this himself?
I'm like, it's some Ukrainian bot.
The laziest Ukrainian bot ever. I'm just posting one review and then I'm knocking off.
Mergy, number one, yes.
I like you get.
You do good weddings. You're very
religiously.
We're going to get calls about this. This isn't good accent work.
Well, that's right. You guys are usually here Sunday nights. This is a Friday night at midnight.
Right, it's midnight.
We get to really let loose.
We're supposed to be sober? Come on.
No. Really? All right, so... No, we're not. If you have a beer question, 312-981-7200. If you're looking for a recommendation, these guys will recommend something. They, even though, you know, right now they sound like they're just talking silly, but they know their stuff. These guys, that's why they're here, because they know their stuff. All right. What are we going to do?
No, it'll be fine.
So what are we, what are you uncorking there?
Okay, so this beer I'm very excited about. This is Avery Swanson's beer. So Avery Swanson was the head brewer at Jester King down in Austin, Texas.
Okay.
She left them. So the beer world was like, where is she going? And it was a big mystery, you know. She makes amazing beers. She developed a really good barrel aging program for Jester King, award-winning program. So she came up to Chicago, and she, you know, let the cat out of the bag. She's brewing at Half Acre, and today was the release of her first beer.
Oh, wow.
So her project is called Keeping Together. Her first beer is a table beer, and it's called The Art of Holding Space.
Okay. So, explain really table beer to the uninitiated.
It's like a 3.2% ABV beer that she, what did she age in?
In the fooder for like a little while.
Yeah, so it's mixed culture.
Notes of table.
Yeah.
Depends on what you clean the table with first.
Okay.
Orange pledge, lemon pledge.
Hey, Avery, we talked about your beer. It said it tastes like Glade.
Wow. Thanks.
But it's a nice, really beautiful beer, actually. I had some earlier today. If you can't tell, Half Acre.
Well, we couldn't tell you.
We can't tell you yet because you're not pouring.
I keep on forgetting words today. I'm sorry.
It's very light in color. Almost got a little hint of. It looks like a lager.
If we're comparing it to tables, it's the lightest color IKEA that you get from the bin. It's a
beechwood, more of a beechwood table, like one of those ones where you'd have the white legs and the beechwood top.
I think it's called the Toblin.
I don't think they can use beechwood on the label.
Illegal.
Beaching?
Someone else got there first.
Oh, like, right, okay.
A century ago.
Avery Swanson, the queen of beers.
Wow. Oh, beach. Very yes, nice. Right. Wow. Yes, now I'm like,
sorry, that wasn't a very good bit, and I stuck with it too long.
You did stick with it, but you know, and
it's officially Saturday
heads.
Energy.
And John said it's like, it's coming around.
Yeah, I'm going to get this. No,
this
that's
is my
good.
Fraser Crane reference. It was just a delicate origami that unfolded into amazing humor.
Wow. You are deep. I thought you were deep at, you know, on Sunday evenings. When it gets way late, you get even deeper.
Oh, yeah, I know. Welcome to 1 a.m.'s near John.
Very exciting. So what should people be looking for in this?
This is a little bit lighter on the palate. It's not exactly tart, but with the mixed culture, you might get some tartness.
It's got it's not sweet tart, but it does have, there is a tartness, an underlying tartness.
I don't want to put you through the pain that John did with the sours.
I really like this beer.
Yeah.
This
is it's a got a real lemon lime Gatorade thing that I like.
Oh no, that's everyone's least favorite Gatorade.
The lemon lime?
Yeah. Everyone gets the purple or the
I don't mind the ooh, the blue's good.
The cucumber lemon.
I'm going to go out and alienate another I'm not a fan of Gatorade at all.
No.
Are you a Powerade? Guy?
Yeah.
No. I'm a no-aid.
Oh.
I drink water.
Water.
Normie Gatorade.
That's right.
Boring.
Basic aid. Just water. No, this is very nice. It's very effervescent.
Yeah.
It's effervescent. It's simple. Like, there's hints. I want to be, like, one of those horrible jazz critics and be like, it's all the notes she's not playing. But, like, seriously, this is a very restrained, delicious beer.
It is.
And it's, I would
but surprisingly complex for what it is. Oh, I threatened to chug one at Half Acre, and they told me that's against the law. So
that's a Half Acre
law. What law? I was going to say, what law?
I don't
is
think
that?
You can open.
It sounds like the bartender was already getting mad at you for something else.
I would say personality, but
wow.
Huh. We have a question from one of our texters.
Yeah.
What beer from Mars can you recommend? MARZ, not Mars the planet.
Because I don't know if aliens. I was going to say Curiosity. Rover. It's a rover. It's a machine. NASA, don't worry about it.
It's making a NASA joke.
Yeah, it's no, it's not a beer at
I'm
all.
So happy to have had the second worst bit of this show.
I'm here to help. I'm here to help.
See, that he sits quietly, biding his time, and he picks his spot, and then...
Still missing.
You spent too much time with science. That's your problem.
Science, and
stout.
I'm being on brand. What can I say?
You are on brand. Listen to the Curiosity podcast. That's what Cody does for his day job, by the way. So I don't know Mars. So what?
Mars is a community brewing company down in Bridgeport.
Bridgeport.
Okay.
Make amazing beer. Honestly, they try so many different things. They throw so many different things at the wall and do so many intriguing like styles. But their tropical double IPA, the name eludes me. It's got a dragon on the can. You'll know when you see it. Has very fruit-forward hops and a malt profile to match, where it'll taste like one of those fruited beers, but it's all just from this really complex bill. It's delicious.
Very nice. Jungle Boogie is a really good one. That's their wheat.
Yeah, that's a wheat with the South African rooibos tea.
We
brought this in for the show.
Oh, yes, I do remember that. I do remember that.
That's a good one. And they do Chug Life.
Okay.
Which
I hear that's against the law. That's what Jim says.
It's a half acre world.
They'll come get you.
That's just for Jim.
It's a trap.
Jim is the
He's got an ankle bracelet. We have a lot of questions for him. But Chug Life is one of my go-tos. If I see it at a bar I want to go with something a little bit light and
he doesn't mean a pearl thing. He means a male anklet.
Oh, sure. That's nice. Like puka shells or something?
He's taken. yeah, but Mars has, if you ever want to have Mars beer, experience Mars beer, go to Maria's down in Bridgeport. They always have a ton of them on draft. And
or go to their tap room.
Oh, their tap room too, but yeah.
We could go to their tap room.
Damn it, Jim, you're so smart.
you could look in a bunch of stores. They might have some.
That's right.
Or you could go to where they make it.
True.
You know, I go to the corner tavern. They have a lot of Revolution beer. Really? Well, we have tap rooms with just Revolution beer.
You know, I'm giving Maria some business, Jim.
Are you on their payroll?
For Pete's sake, maybe.
All right, perfect. Listen, we're all looking for a gig. So Maria's, so go down to Mars. Pretty much, it sounds like you guys are saying anything they make, you should try. Because there's something for every taste. Would that be fair?
They don't have these like hard parameters. They get to go out there and experiment, which is really cool. They have a very exciting beer program. So support those guys and try their stuff. There's a lot for everybody.
All right, John, we have a question that is just for you. If you can pull yourself away from your phone for a moment.
I was looking up the name of that beer.
Oh, that's
it's called Splash.
Splash. That's
tropical
pale
ale.
That's the tropical.
And the double IPA version of that is also delightful.
Right, very nice. The reason I said to pull yourself away, because this has to do with a Revolution beer.
Let's hear it.
And this is Diane. Hello, Diane.
Yeah, sorry. I'm here. Yeah, I had a question. I bought the Revolution Eugene Robust Porter.
Yeah,
one of Cody's favorites and mine.
It is so good. I was so impressed.
God, I'm glad you like it.
It's not as bitter as a lot of these porters that you buy from the small breweries. A lot of them are a little bit too bitter, but this one is just right.
Wow.
And a wonderful
Is Diane
sweetness.
On your staff, John? Is Diane one of your marketing
people? No, I am not.
Diane, the check's officially in the mail.
That's who he was texting. He's like, hey, Diane, call now. Call now.
Diane, I'm dying here.
This is the time. I made some bad joke. I need help.
It was 11.2, which also was very nice.
Is it 11 point? Is
no,
Eugene that
high? Eugene is 6.67, I believe.
Oh, is it a 6?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I always was a fan of the Belgian ales, and it's, you know, very similar to the originals.
Good malty
It's
profile,
got a huge malty backbone. Yeah, and just even recently,
and
I think the brewers have been killing it.
As far as recommendations for the holidays, you know what I usually bring is something like the framboise, like the Lindemans, a peach, or the black cherry, I think you can find. Those are really delicious. They're not really a lot of alcohol in them, but they're very flavorful.
Very nice.
Good dessert beers. Yeah.
Well, Diane, thank you for the call, and thank you for the recommendations.
All right.
Take
You're
care.
Welcome.
Thanks. Thanks, Diane.
Yeah, a lot of coffee beers do have a little extra bitterness, like she was saying, but Eugene is...
Well, it's not a coffee beer, but she's right.
Well,
doesn't
Eugene have coffee? It's a
no,
coffee
there
porter.
Is a coffee Eugene.
Which is a really...
Eugene is just a regular robust porter.
Oh, see, I've had the Eugene coffee.
Coffee Eugene's
the
delightful,
The coffee Eugene
too.
Is really nice.
Coffee Eugene coffee is person. One of my favorite beers of all time.
How much are you getting paid?
Sam.
Oh, my goodness.
I've had a lot of coffee beers lately, especially on my new stout kick, and like I bought a 4-pack of coffee beers from some liquor store near me. And I brought it home, and I had, like, literally 2 sips, and I dumped it out. I was like, this is trash. I hate it. Like, so you spoiled me. I'm very upset. Revolution, like, if I can't find a coffee Eugene, because you don't know. It's
I'm
like,
just excited that we turned you into, like, someone who's just way too aggressive.
Yes, he's a monster. He's very angry now. He's taking the ramen episode and amplifying
it. He went back to throw the remaining bottles against the wind. window of the liquor store.
I went back and I punched the clerk in the face.
You put the proprietor
to purchase.
It's like a Rage Against the Machine video.
This is your fault because you guys are the ones that keep bringing.
Whoa, easy, man. Okay, Kings and Convicts is hiring.
Roll back.
We need aggressive sales reps.
Do you have what drink this right now?
Do you have what it takes to be employee number 10?
I mean, are you looking for a podcast?
Is everybody else's beer crap?
They just bought a giant brewery.
So, oh no, yeah, they're well set up.
Oh yeah, they're fine. We can mock it. Anyway.
That's punching up. That's comedy, man.
That is punching. Well, are they up yet?
Hey, they went from making 600 barrels to 200,600 barrels.
So we're punching up.
They bought Ballast Point, and I had White Castle twice for lunch this week.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm. Nice. It was a great week. I don't know how that's my argument.
I had some for the first time over Thanksgiving week. Had them for
first
lunch.
Time ever?
No, first time in a while. I had them twice, and then I made White Castle stuffing.
Ooh, I did that too.
Nice. Did you like it?
I did it with the Impossible Slider, so it was a new taste sensation.
Mm. Was it all right?
I liked it.
Yeah,
I have vegans in my family. I'm a live and let live type dude.
I was about to alienate vegans too. Put them on the list of everybody
don't do
else.
It. Please don't do it.
I'm not going to do it. I hope everybody enjoyed. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We got a couple more beers. If you have more questions, 312-981-7200. It's at the breweries. John Carruthers, Jesse Valenciana, Jim Plecky, Cody Goff, and me, all on WGN. All right, at the breweries, we're here for another few minutes, and then Matt Bubala will be in after 1 o'clock. John Carruthers from Revolution Brewing, Jesse Valenciana, one of the founders of Manbecue, well-known beer aficionado, and Jim Plecky from Good Beer Hunting. Cody Goff is here as well. Everybody's here. We have a West Coast IPA question, gentlemen. Are you ready for a West Coast IPA question? Let's find out, because Rob is with us. Hi, Rob.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Yeah, there we go.
What's up, Rob?
Good. Hey, I wanted to point you guys into a direction that I know that isn't as popular right now because of all the hazy IPA hoopla going on. But I still like to try a lot of different styles of beer. And Miskatonic Brewing Company out of Darien is doing a West Coast Wizard IPA. And it has got to be when I tried my first sip of it, I immediately thought Stone. And I was, like, just blown away by it, considering all of the hazy fruitiness and soft, pillowy goodness that they are. It was just really good to have a nice, dry, bitter, clear, clean IPA. And I was just wondering if you guys had any experience with it, and if you still appreciate that style of beer just as much as I do.
Oh, I'll take this because we just released Northwest Hero with the flannel shirt and the... To do that, and literally when we were putting this beer out, our brewers, like, you'd ask them, like, hey, what, you know, what inspired this? I got to do the tweets and stuff because I don't know anything on my own. And they would say, like, oh, you know, it's those original beers when we were coming up learning to brew, the Stones, the Sierra Nevadas, and there's just, you don't find that style of beer anymore, especially not in something new. So, like, I'm with you. When you find something new just based on the old school West Coast, if it hits all those notes you remember, it almost is just bigger than some of its parts because it's something that doesn't exist like it used to.
So explain everybody, or most people know what an IPA is. Mm-hmm. What's this style that you're talking about? Thanks, Rob.
Yeah, East Coast is that hazy, fruit-forward. It's very much in ascendance now. West Coast is like when most people had their first IPA and said, I don't like IPAs. It's really piney, dry, floral, dry, yeah. Bitter. But for some of us, that's like a thing that we really want to go back to. And it's, you know, not as easy to find as it used to be.
Right.
So it is cool that, you know, an up-and-coming brewery like Miskatonic, you know, where it's easy to put out hazy after hazy after hazy, is taking, you know, their shot at something classic.
And you guys have talked about Miskatonic before.
Mm-hmm. We brought in their Oktoberfest last time around?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, very good. All right, so we poured something else. One of them was a crew. Are they both crews?
The last two that I have are crews.
Yes. Okay. So Cruz Blanca, if you haven't been there on Randolph Street, they put out some good beers.
Yeah, so Jacob over at Cruz, I think, is doing... He's honestly doing some of my favorite beers in Chicago because they're small enough where he can really take the barrel program the way he wants it. And it's a really good reflection of him and his style. So they did a bunch of really cool barrel-aged stouts, and he likes to mix it up. You know, one year he'll do the same recipe in a bourbon barrel. The next year he does it in a rum barrel.
Okay.
The first one we tried was Loco Dinero, and that's an Imperial Blonde ale aged in rye... whiskey and rum barrels with Sparrow Coffee. So, Cody, that's a little bit on the sweeter side.
Yeah.
I really like that one. And the last one that I poured, the little bit hazy, clear one, this is one of my absolute favorite beers. It's a Saison that he barrel aged with dried black limes, and then he put in these French oak puncheons.
Okay, what are French oak puncheons?
Big old barrels.
Okay.
Yeah. So he put those in for about 16 months, and I don't know. What do you guys think about this beer? This
is one of my.
This beer is wonderful.
When you said it's very good. When you said Saison, I had a different flavor profile in my head from other Saisons. This one does. You do get the lime. You get that citrusy, little bit of tartness when you drink it, but not overpowering. Not to the point where you'd go, "Oh, this is a sour."
Yeah,
it's smooth. Yes. I don't like sours, and I like this.
It's awesome how it compares to the Keeping Together beer. Like they compare and contrast. Like they both have a lemon lime flavor, but they both do it really differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this one is nice. Now, John brought one.
Guys we're both just drinking.
What is that red there?
My white whale is to cure your absolute hate of anything like Belgian inflected with any sort of tart component to it. And I brought in some Wisconsin Belgian Red from New Glarus I had from my last trip up there.
And I love New Glarus.
This tends a lot sweeter than a lot of the other stuff. And I'm like, oh, if Brian likes anything, he's going to like this. And I poured you about a hair of it. You were like, eh.
I don't know what it is, but that's the beauty of having so many beers and so many breweries. There's something, you're going to find something you like, and you're going to find stuff that you don't care for, and it's nice to be able to make those choices and make those decisions based on all the stuff that's out there.
I'm never going to stop trying to trick you, though.
I understand, but listen, my very slow palate can still catch certain things when they try to run past me. Not this one. All right, so you're going to a holiday party. I'm going to ask each one of you. You're going to a holiday party. You're going to bring one beer. Maybe there's a lot of really experienced beer drinkers there. Maybe there's some people who aren't really experienced beer drinkers, but you know you want something that everybody can enjoy and still show them something new. What would you bring? Who would like to start?
Jim Plackey's going to start.
Jim Plackey's going to start.
I would bring Solemn Oath Lou Kolsch.
Solemn Oath Lou Kolsch. Ooh.
That's the beer I think I drink more of than any beer now in the last couple of years. And it's complex enough. Yeah, it's complex enough for someone like me to find it interesting to drink, but goes down so easy that I think anyone who normally drinks like a Miller High Life or a Miller Lite, it's 4% alcohol, real crackery, like pretty simple, but yet has like a nice aroma and fun to drink.
All right.
I am going to bring something that I know you'll hate. I'm going to bring a nice Belgian a Belgian Creek. And I'll go either Trey Fontenay, Ode Creek. That's this delightful European brewery. Newly distributed in Chicago again. Big green bottle. Big three on it. Look for it. They got it at Binnie's. They have it everywhere.
All right.
Or I'll bring Dovetail Creek. That is a delightful holiday beer.
Very nice.
And, you know, these beers are complex, but they're also very approachable with their fruit-forward flavors.
Okay.
Most non-Noonans tend to enjoy them.
I can't be the only person in the world who doesn't like sours.
There's nothing wrong with you. I'm just being a jerk.
I know. That's all right. Listen, I'm not going to bend.
But
I'm not
going to go,
all right, John, I'll drink it. Just peer pressure doesn't work on me.
I know. I still can't get you to smoke menthols.
No. Smoke menthols, drink sours. That's great.
You got to sell them to him.
Sour Patch Kids, it's fantastic.
That's flavor country.
Yeah, sure it is, if you're a six-year-old. Jesse?
I would normally go with some kind of Belgian. You know, I'm a big fan of Belgian doubles because normally with, like, you know, holiday dinners, you have, like, big, hearty meat. But this year I've been on a Saison kick.
Okay.
It started with, we were at Ali Ali. It's really cool. Outing that I had the Saison from Cinderlands. If you could get your hands on that, I forget what the name is. Cruz Blanca does an amazing Saison, and Off Color does Socks.
Okay.
And their Saison's amazing.
Can I put a bow on this?
Quick, yep.
Jesse Valenciana says, "Tis the Saison."
Tis the Saison. Oh, very nice. You've redeemed yourself. Cody, anything?
Watermelon flavored Four Loko.
All right.
Someone's looking to fight.
We're going to come back and wrap things up. John Carruthers, Jesse Valenciano, Jim Plackey, Cody Goff, thank you. You can always come in. John, give us your Twitter.
At UT Chicago.
Jesse?
Jesse Manbecue.
Jim?
At Jim Plachy, P-L-A-C-H-Y.
And you can also go to Good Beer Hunting to read Jim's stuff. All right, let's do this, and there's more WGN. Thanks for listening and being part of the show. Jesse Manbecue's got a pop-up. Oh, hold on. Yep, go.
December 14th at Metric Roasters over on Damon and Fulton. From 8 in the morning till 4 p.m., we'll be doing breakfast sandwiches until noon, and from noon on, we're doing tortas.
All right. Thanks again for listening. I'll keep you posted on the Facebook page. We'll tell you when we're going to be back, what's going to be happening. But always appreciate your support. Always appreciate you listening.